these days, it's harder for them to get that experience because everyone's so short-staffed, and because these critical units need people now. They're like, fuck it, just give us anybody. Give us the new grad. We don't care.
Yeah, as long as you're breathing and you're a body to fill in the gap.
Yeah, they're like, they'll figure it out. Just throw them in there. And then now this is the standard, right? That's the problem.
That's it.
Now it's the standard in healthcare where like, this is just the way things are. And you're like, no. This was never the way things were. This was not how things were.
I beg your pardon. What's up, my favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated bestie? It's your favorite nurse, Nurse John, and welcome back to your favorite podcast. I beg your pardon. What's up, you guys? Another week of another podcast, another therapy session, another conversation, another sit down with you guys. I miss you guys, and I know you miss me too. I am just claiming that because you are here listening to my podcast. But before we proceed, can you do me a quick favor, Bessie? Can you download this new episode and all other episodes you have not listened to? Make sure that you follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and also make sure that you share it and tag me on Instagram at I Beg Your Pardon. Well, Bessie, you're probably wondering who is the guest for this week. We're going to dive into that very, very soon enough. Also, if you're wondering what kind of scarves I wear, it's from Gardemalade, G-R-D-E-M-A-L-A-D-E. If you want to get a discount code, you can use my discount code NurseJohnGM on checkout, N-U-R-S-E-J-O-H-N-G-M. And you can get a discount. I love this scrub company. They're Canadian. They ship it between Canada and the United States, and they are everywhere right now. All right, Bessie. Well, this week's episode is someone that I met this year, and he's such a cool guy outside of the internet and inside the internet. And I'm pretty sure you guys know him. He's Asian too, like me. And he is also in healthcare. He is actually an ER technician in California. And he became so popular during COVID with his slogan. It's not a slogan really, but he says it every single time. Tips from the ER. Presenting you guys, the one and only Stephen Ho.
Hello, everybody.
What's up, Steven?
What's up, man? What an intro. Thank you so much.
I know, right? I memorized your tips from the ER.
That's what we were known for, tips from the ER during COVID.
You have made such an impact to people's lives during COVID, man. I started working as a nurse in the beginning of COVID, and your video starts popping on everyone's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. I was like, who is this man? He's so good at describing every single thing that's happening in the healthcare environment. And I was like, God damn, he must have been working for so long. How long have you been in ER tech?
Oh man, ER tech, probably 6 years. And then I was an EMT for 4 years before that. I started in the ER as a Vietnamese medical translator, believe it or not. Yeah.
How'd you got that job?
It was recommended to me by a friend because at the time I was trying to pursue a career in medicine. To become a doctor.
Is this an Asian thing, like every other Asian,
you know, dude who's confused going to college. But the job, it was an internship.
Okay.
That my friend recommended me for. And I got it to be a medical translator in the ER in San Jose, back where I'm from, in the Bay Area.
Oh, you used to live in the Bay Area.
I used to live in the Bay Area. I was there all my life, went to school at UC Santa Cruz. And then I think I was 30 years old in 2019 when I moved to LA in February.
And what made you move to LA?
I wanted to be an actor.
You wanted to? Look at you, man. Your mom and dad must be so proud of you.
No, they hated me. What do you mean?
I feel that, bro.
What do you mean?
Listen, yeah. I told my grandpa I'm going to be a nurse, and here I am doing comedy with you.
Yeah, but come on, it's all forgiven now.
I know, right? I think it's a good thing too that you follow what you really wanted to do. I mean, like, you've had a career in healthcare, but at the end of the day, it's the job that you wanted to go to every single day.
Is that the cat?
Yeah, Angelo. He's scratching the life out of the thing.
He's making a lot of noise.
He's making a lot of noise.
Do the Filipino thing where you put them in the oven and eat them.
Oh, the cat shit?
Oh, yeah. He pooped.
So, yeah. Well, it's good that you followed what you really wanted to do at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. No, it's much happier now, you know?
Has it always been a thing for you that you like to be on stage and performing and, you know, entertaining people?
Yeah. Well, you know, I found it later in life. Again, so okay. I spent the first, you know, good 25 years of my life not knowing what to do, you know, going to college, trying to like become somebody, just trying to get a regular job. Thought maybe I should go into the medical field because right. it made sense. And then when I was 25 years old and I was applying to medical school, I decided I would take the summer to take some classes at a community college.
Okay.
For like, you know, acting, singing.
Right.
And piano.
Shit. Okay.
And then I fell in love with the theater. And then I started doing theater for the next 5 years until I was 30 in the Bay Area. And then I moved to LA to do more theater and act.
Wow.
Yeah.
So even when you were an ER tech, you were already doing some acting in mm-hmm. theater.
Oh, yeah. When I was
on the side.
Yeah. I was an ER technician. Then I was auditioning for stuff in the Bay Area. I was like, you know.
Shoot.
I was driving around. I was doing shows at night. This was my schedule. My schedule was I would work Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. to 7 a.m., drive to the college, sleep in my car from 8 to 10, go to class at 10, and then stay in class until 3 or 4, and then have rehearsals at night from 7 to 10.
Wow. You were persevering this whole career that you really wanted to do.
Yeah. No, I loved it. Because at the time, too, like I went down to 2 days a week. Right. And that's the great thing about working in healthcare. If you're trying to do like other things. Right. I did 2 12s a week. I did Saturday night.
There's flexibility.
There's so much flexibility. Right. And you can work days or nights.
Right. And I think also it impacts the fact that you live in California. You guys have a better situation here compared to a lot of other states when it comes to like nursing and healthcare.
You mean in terms of like flexibility,
the pay, mm-hmm. ratios and a lot of stuff.
I mean, I've never worked anywhere but California, but I've worked at hospitals where we got a lot of travelers and I've heard the fucking horror story. Am I allowed to cuss on this?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You can cuss in this. You can cuss, you can say everything. They love it.
I've heard the horror stories of right. you know, healthcare in like the East Coast of America or like right. anywhere else but California, which is why every time, you know, we get a traveler that comes to California, they end up staying.
That's it.
They end up extending their contract. They end up staying because they're like, oh my God, we get mandatory breaks. What is this?
Right. They're like, we have a ratio. You're only supposed to have like yeah. three
yeah.
patients. Like yeah. that's crazy.
There's ratios. There's resources. People aren't reusing their freaking, you know, pulse oximeter stickers, like, which is disgusting, right?
It
but
is
there's places
disgusting.
Where they have no choice. They have to reuse some of this stuff.
That's it. Going back to your childhood, your younger years, just so like people kind of like get to know you more. Tell us how you grew up. Like, was anyone in your family in healthcare? Was this just, you know, the whole Asian thing? Like, tell us more about your childhood.
No, nobody was in healthcare. My parents owned restaurants for most of my life.
Okay.
Yeah. So they owned Vietnamese restaurants while I was growing up. Pho restaurants. Yeah.
That must be good. Yeah. I like pho restaurants.
They owned pho restaurants. They were cooks. And I grew up, you know, it was me. I had three sisters, mom and dad. And a grandma and grandpa, we all fit into one little townhouse.
That's such an Asian thing, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We all live in the same freaking house.
We all live in the same
house. We all fit in there. Everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy. I shared a room with my sister all the way up until college. It wasn't weird to me until I got to college. Because then, you know, when you go to college, especially if you go to like a university like I did, you know, your world opens up.
For sure.
A lot. And I met a lot of people who, you know, I never would have met if I stayed in my little hometown.
That's
so,
it.
You know, I started, you know, watching other people live. I'm like, oh my God, this is like how you guys live. You guys have your own room. You're allowed to like, you know, buy certain things. What blew my mind really when I got to college, I had this roommate and we went to the grocery store and he bought an entire bag of like chocolate chips Ahoy cookies.
Yeah.
He took it home and he just ate it for himself. I'm like, my mom would never let me do that.
Right? It's half for you, half for your sister and yeah. your other sister.
Yeah, or just the little things like that where like he had a fridge full of drinks. I'm like, yeah, like isn't Gatorade expensive? How do you just buy Gatorade, you know?
Yeah, it's so hard. Honestly, like that's my case too. Like I think I lived with my mom until I was 23, 24 mm-hmm. because it's just feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, like you're comfortable, your mom, like you come home, there's food at home. She will sometimes do your laundry, but most of the time, like, you get the help, you know, and you don't pay rent. Everything is just so, like, you know, it feels like you don't have to struggle. But then when I got out from my mom, that's when I'm like, shit, I should have learned this when I was like 18 or 17 kind of thing.
Was your mom the type of mom to like try to push you out of the house, or did she want you to stay
forever? No, she wants me to stay.
She wants you to stay.
She's like, yeah, until you get kids, until you do this, you can stay forever.
Same with my mom. She's trying to get me to go home right now.
So funny. That's it. I think it's just an Asian thing that there's pros and cons with it, but I think the con of it is that you don't learn to be independent and you don't learn how to live as, you know, an adult man or an adult woman. But the pros of it is that, you know, you're close to your family, you guys have a strong bond. But the thing is, again, it still comes down to the fact that, you know, when you start looking for a girl or, you know, starting to build a family, it's harder for you because you don't understand how it works outside of the comfort of your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Best decision of my life to move out. That's great. It. We also have a better relationship too. Like I loved my mom. I loved being in the house with her, but like leaving was it improved our relationship so much.
I can attest to that. I think, like, you know, sometimes we get into so much fight when we're living together.
Yeah.
Because just, you know, before we were so similar, but as I grew up, as I learned things, I'm like, no, please don't do that. Or like, oh, no, I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're too close to them, you know?
And that's like, it.
And you develop your own little weird quirks and idiosyncrasies that people aren't going to understand, right? So you need your space. You need to go and be alone in your own space so you could be the weird person that you are.
That's it.
And so you could show up to them and like be normal and like, you know?
That's so funny. Another thing that you mentioned, that you have three sisters. How is that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah.
The only guy in the family. Are you the, what, you're the third, fourth?
I have one older sister and I have two younger sisters.
Their second child.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're all pretty close. My, you know, my oldest sister's 2 years older. One sister's 1 year younger, and the other one's like 5 years younger. But we're really close.
Shit.
Yeah, like, we talk all the time.
All the freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that must be hard to, like, three sisters and you're the only guy in the family.
I mean,
your dad too.
Yeah, my dad too. But with my sisters, you know, it was weird growing up. We didn't really like each other growing up. But again, you know, you move away, you go to college.
Right,
you
know, right.
You figure out who you are, then you come back, you're like, hey, I loved you all along, man.
That's so funny. So you went to college in the Bay Area.
Yes. So UC Santa Cruz. So it's close.
And what was the first thing you took? Was it theater?
I didn't really know what I was doing when I graduated high school.
Right.
I didn't do great in high school. But I got into UC Santa Cruz, and I asked my sister, who was in Berkeley, who was very motivated, who was very smart. I was like, hey, what should I take? She's like, you know, just take a bunch of stuff and figure out what you like. It's your first quarter. So I took a chemistry class because I did well in chemistry in high school.
Okay.
I took a writing class, which is required for all freshmen, a writing class. And then I took a feminist studies class.
A feminist study class.
Yeah, it was just like the most random thing I could find. I'm like, all right, well,
I'll just take, yeah, just so I can take the credits for it.
Yeah, let's just go figure it out. Like,
oh, that's,
you
so
know,
funny. Oh shit! So then you just took a bunch of like electives, I guess, and then kind of figure it out there. Did you had something in mind before theater, or was theater really the only thing you wanted to do?
No, theater came later, man. When I went to college, I was 18, and then I graduated college at like 22, worked as an EMT for like 2 years, and when I was 24, 25, that's when I took the first theater class. And then I realized, oh, I want to do theater. I didn't, up until that point, I had never done any type of performance until I was 24, 25.
Man, so you're a natural, because I've seen you on stage. You're a natural.
Oh, thank you.
That
say more, John.
Take your glass of wine.
Say more.
Cheers. Cheers. Glass of wine. But yeah, you're a natural, and I feel like being a natural on stage has to come from, like, you know, you're the family's clown. Because I feel like, you know, you have to have that. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I would consider myself an introvert. I definitely need to recharge a lot.
Well, yeah. Right now with what you're doing, for sure you need to recharge. because you have to be an extrovert to be able to like stand up on stage. Like I'm an introvert, but then I learned to be extroverted because of this new path that I'm taking. Like this whole social media thing kind of like brought out the extrovert in me because I cannot be the introvert that I am. Mm-hmm. If I'm just going to be an introvert, I would stay at home in my couch just watching TV.
Watching TV, making some cooking videos.
That's it. Cooking. Or like watch YouTube the whole day and yeah. I'll be good type of thing. And then, you know, the social media came in and I had to talk to myself and kind of like, oh, do you really want people seeing you on the internet and like dancing and doing those kind of like crazy shit?
I would not peg you to be an introvert. Because the first videos we saw of you were like pussy clean, pussy tight. It was just like, it was so outrageous.
I know.
Where I'm just like, there's no way. And then the next video is you, you know, popping your ass on.
That's it. Because this is what I tell people. They're like, John, it's impossible that you're an introvert. But I tell them, guys, because the thing is, when I film these videos, I'm in the back of a camera. Nobody's watching me but myself. Mm-hmm. And when I post it, I don't look at it. I close my eyes and click post.
Mm.
And then, I don't rewatch my video.
No.
I never watch my video.
Yeah, you know, I feel that. I try not to. I watch it within the first 20 minutes just to see how it does.
That's it. You and know? I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to hear my own voice.
Yeah, and then I let it go.
Because I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to criticize my whole self and I'm going to like be in a depression state because I was like, fuck this.
But you think you're an introvert, huh?
Yeah, I really love my own space. If I can be just by myself, I would do that a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm the type of person that I like to stay at home. I like to clean. I like to cook. I'm a husband type of thing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I have this whole new path where I'm entertaining people, which I like. I don't know how you feel about it. Like, what did you feel when you started like getting comments from people? Like, thank you so much, Steven. Your videos help us.
Oh, it was incredible.
Right?
You know, it was amazing.
Right?
Come on. There's a million people being like, oh my God, yes, more of you. We love you. Because it's, you know, it's probably one of the reasons why I started performing in the first place. Mm. Right? Like there's something deeply, there's probably something deeply wrong with me if I need, you know, applause and affection from strangers to feel good about myself, you know?
I wouldn't say that.
I want to say it has a lot to do with like growing up and like probably just not receiving enough love from like, you know, the parents where you're like, well, I got to go find it somewhere else.
Hey, I wouldn't say that. I think the reason why we like this and we kind of like seek validation from all these people and feel good whenever they say like, you know, good things about the videos we post is because it makes you happy and proud that the video that you just made an impact, a positive impact to someone.
Mm.
And you're just like, okay, so I'm not just, you know, I'm not just making any videos that's just going to be a waste of time for people, because people are actually finding a positive message or relatability. They feel like they're in a community with the videos that I make.
Yeah. So, well, see, I didn't understand that about what I was doing when I was making videos. Again, because I don't know what it was. I think it was because I started during COVID.
Right.
So I was making these videos and, you know, people were reposting them. They were commenting.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really know what was happening in the real world. Right. Like we were still shut down. I had no
idea. That's true.
I had no idea. Like it was a community that was forming. I didn't know idea I had that impact on people until I started meeting them during the live shows.
Okay.
And like you, like, right? Like people come up to you, they're like getting emotional, telling you a story about like them in the hospital. It was a rough time. Your videos got them through, right?
That's it.
I didn't hear that until about a year and a half after I started making my videos. I didn't know who was watching it.
Oh.
I didn't know exactly who it was. I wasn't reading the DMs. There was just too many. Mm.
That's it.
It wasn't until I went to do the live shows and met people where I realized, oh, this is beyond me now.
That's it. Because for me, when I started, I think what pushed me to keep going with this whole social media is from the DMs I'm receiving from people.
Yeah.
You know, like a mom who's been struggling in the hospital with her kid who's on chemotherapy. And they're like, John, your videos help me and my daughter to get through the whole chemotherapy. And I'm like, fuck, man. This feels like nursing, you know? This feels like doing the same job I'm doing, but on the internet, and I can reach more people than physically. Mm-hmm. I reach them through, you know, videos that I make, and I'm like, okay, you know what? There's a positive thing that I'm doing right here, so maybe I can keep doing it. And I've always loved theater in a sense that I, you know, when I was in high school, I would volunteer myself to be on stage and like, okay, I'll do the act the class type of thing. But I've always had like a fear on stage, like being in front of people and failing and like being judged type of thing.
I think that happens with everybody in the beginning because you've done shows with me now. You know, you do fine. You do great.
Yeah, but I think like I got over it but in time. Mm-hmm. But I've loved it in high school, being on stage and kind of like performing. But I was like, you know what? Maybe this is not for me. But then I keep trying. I keep trying and, you know, opportunity hits and, you know, social media has given us this avenue to really do what we actually love to do.
Yeah. No, did you always kind of want to do social media?
No, not at all. I mean, like growing up, I had like MySpace. I have Friendster. I know if you know Friendster. Uh-huh. But all of those kind of stuff. I was in Tumblr, reposting aesthetic stuff. Yeah. You know, my favorite part was on Tumblr. I keep reposting this in and out pictures because they're so aesthetic. Or like those ice cream shave cone with like rainbow.
So you were a little artsy fartsy.
Artsy fartsy, like
even when you were younger.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it and I support people. I love K-pop too before.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I lost my K-pop era, but like, you know, I have always been on the internet type of thing. Gotcha. But I've never seen myself on the spotlight doing this.
Yeah.
And again, like it's still shocking to me till this day that I have this kind of influence and this platform and, you know, just kind of looking back, I'm like, wait, I'm just a regular immigrant kid from like the Philippines, you know?
Yeah, but it's crazy. It's crazy though, right? Like, cause you do have more of an impact now than you ever would have had if you kept working as a nurse, right?
That's it. But I think the difference between that is that the impact I'm making now compared to nursing, I think it's uncomparable in a sense that, you know, it's more physical and more care of a nurse that I'm giving through nursing. But now it's more motivational, it's more emotional, it's more like spiritual stuff that I'm giving to people. Mm-hmm. And like, again, like the impact and the amount of people I guess inspire. Like I would never think someone from Botswana would be following me and telling me on Instagram like, hey, I'm a nurse in Botswana and your video, I relate so much to it.
Isn't that crazy how much it's similar throughout the world?
It's fucking crazy, bro.
Like we all have all the same problems, you know?
It's mind-blowing to me how, you know, the nursing field is just so similar to everything.
Yeah,
to everywhere.
Yeah, short staffing is the same everywhere. You go through the same problems. You go through like resource problems, breaks. You know, the patients all kind of treat you the same at the end of the day.
That's it. And like you feel bad about your situation, but if you think about another person's situation in another country, you're like, fuck, I actually have it good. But at the same time, you cannot look at it that way because still, you know, it's a different kind of like problem for United States or Africa or something like that. So everyone's fucking concern is valid, but like you're like, fuck man, why is it all the same for everyone?
Yeah, that's what makes kind of like what we do so cool, because it is the same for everybody and everybody can relate to it, right? You don't accumulate, you know, millions of followers just from
that's it. And you too, like how did it felt for you when you gained that much following on TikTok? Man, you're like at 11 million or something.
Yeah, no, it was crazy.
Like how long did it took you?
Oh, it went fast because I was in what I would consider the golden age of TikTok, you know?
Damn, that it feels so like long ago, but it's been like 4 fucking years.
There was a golden age of TikTok during 2020, 2021, where like you could blow up. It went so fast, man. I went from zero to 10 in like a year. It was fast.
Crazy.
It was fast because also like there was not that many other healthcare influencers on TikTok, you know. Kind of doing what I was doing.
So my question to you is like, What was the first video you've ever made?
On TikTok?
Like, no, what made you post on TikTok?
So, you know, during COVID, again, I went to LA. I was, I wanted to be an actor. I had a few shows. I was in a sketch comedy show. I was doing improv. I was performing live. When COVID happened, everything shut down.
Right.
And so I was looking for a creative outlet. I wanted to be able to be creative, but everything was shut down. So I'm like, all right, well, there's this new app called TikTok that my friend recommended me. Let's put a few videos on there. And so I made like a tips from the ER. You need to drink more water, you know, like.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember those fucking
You know, it was like, you know, like if you come into the ER, like we give you some saline, like hydrate yourself. You know, it was like a very simple one. It was like 20 seconds and it did really well. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me do a few more. And, you know.
It just keep going.
I just kept going. Because, you know, you work in the hospital. We talked about this, right? You go to the hospital, like there's a million things you could talk about as soon as you step foot into the hospital.
That's it.
It's just like that the public probably doesn't know. Right.
Right.
So I would go to work. I would write down like 10 ideas and I would go home and I would write one and I would film it. And then I would put it out there.
That's crazy. That's literally what I did.
Yeah.
Like I would have a 12-hour shift. In those 12-hour shift, I have something super fucking crazy that happened. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to film this when I get home.
Yeah.
And I would spend 4, 5, 6 hours just filming and filming and filming. I was like, wow, this is good. But for me, though, like when I started posting, it was not intended for me to post it. My first ever video was accidental.
What do you mean?
Like I was filming myself on TikTok, the first ever time, because it was a dancing app then, right? Mm-hmm. And then so I filmed myself because I wanted to save it to my drafts and send it to my friends. But then we had a cold blue and I was in the locker room. So I had to rush in and help out. After recording myself in the locker room, I forgot to click draft. And I put my phone in my pocket and ran into the cold blue.
Oh, it posted.
It posted. The next day, my friends and family are like, did you see your video on the internet? I was like, what?
Really? What was the video? You were dancing?
I was having a mental breakdown.
Oh.
And then so I was like, shit. I was like, wait, did they find out the sites that I was
in? Jesus. Is that how that happened?
Yeah. I was like, That's wild. I was like, what video on the internet? I was like, you guys... I try to do that privately. I'm kidding.
Nobody records themselves on TikTok for private, okay?
No, I swear to God, I record... Because that video was... I was like, this is fucking ugly. This is not going to go on the internet. Because I was like, you know, this is just for friends type of thing. Because whenever I make TikToks, I always try to make it perfect, right? Because you don't want it to be shitty. Mm-hmm. And that very... And it was me lip syncing into an audio and it's not even synced properly. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just save this.
I got to see this video.
Draft it. And then for some reason, it fucking blew up. And in a span of 6 months, I went from like 0 followers to like 3 million. I was like, ugh, okay. What the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I guess we start posting more. And then I stopped posting for 6 months. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe let's give it another try.
Why'd you stop?
Because I was like, I don't want to put myself out there. I was just like, eesh.
Was it something about like your job? Were you afraid of losing your job too?
My job. But at the same time for me, I was like, am I really that like physically attractive enough for people to like me? You know, because
getting a little insecure about
got a little insecure. And at the same time, I was like, ooh, like, you know, like, what is my avenue? Like, what is the purpose of me doing this? Because all the videos that you see on the internet are like good looking fucking people thirst trapping and shit. You know, I was like, I'm not part of that. I'm not going to be that, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't think I'm going to do this.
But you know, it's really not like that anymore. You know, so some of these thirst trapping people like. Where I feel like the world, most of the world is almost over it. You
That's
know?
It.
You know, that's it. We're all about like the funny reels now. Even the dancing has gone.
The reality nowhere. Now, people like it real now, authentic.
Yeah.
And then so, you know, after 6 months, I was like, you know what? I can be fucking funny. I don't care about how I look anymore. And just let's post a second video. And then the second video went fucking viral. And then the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth.
It always helps when the video goes viral. Ladies and gentlemen, like it's a lot harder to keep posting if you're not gaining any traction. Okay. We all want to say just post, it'll be great. Listen, it's hard. Okay. It's not easy. John is talented, right? I had something to say. It takes time if you're trying to like become, you know,
like a social media
media person.
Again, I think the reason why both of us really captured people's attention and entertain like this people is because we keep it authentic.
Yeah.
Keep it real. We don't, you know, we don't use any kind, like we do use scripts and stuff like that to make our video, but we keep it authentic. Like it's the real us. Like if you see me on the street, it's the same Stephen Ho type mm-hmm. of thing. You know what I mean? Like it's not.
I'm not that mean.
He's actually super nice, you guys. I promise you guys. He's the sweetest fucking man ever. Sweetest fucking man I've ever met. But yes, I think it's the authenticity that we show, and that's what people likes now. That's what people wants to see, that they can relate to you. That's why, you know, I bring out Nurse Pam. Because mm-hmm. Nurse Pam is, she could be pretty, but she choose to look like how everyone else could look like in a real hospital and a real nurse setting.
Yeah.
And then so people are like, okay, shit, man, that's exactly how I fucking look on my fourth shift, you know? And it's not like all bound up and full of makeup and shit. And I was like, yeah, this is it. This is what I wanted to keep doing.
Oh, yeah. Working in healthcare, 12 hours at a day. If you're working, I never worked three in a row. I never let myself work three in a row because, like, I would just be miserable. But, like,
lucky you.
But to your point, like, you know, trying to go back to back, that's exactly what everybody fucking looks like in the hospital. You're disheveled, you know, your makeup is like kind of caked on from yesterday. Your hair's unwashed, you know.
That's it.
You took a quick shower, like, because the turnaround time is crazy, especially for nurses who also have to drive home, right? If you're spending an hour commuting, you're working 12 hours, you're spending about an hour to commute back, that's 14 hours, right? You sleep for like 6-7, you got 3 hours to wake up, pack your lunch, and go back to work. Like, there's no way you're going to look good. And for those of you who do, fuck you.
Good for you. Good for you that good you're able you. To. But for the real ones, you don't got that time. You don't got that energy.
Yeah, and then on top of that, like if you have kids and you have family, there's no way.
Everything is just like...
Nurse Pam is a real fucking person.
That's it. It's a real representation of what nurses are actually... Just like Austin, right? Austin, you know, how you bring in the personality of Austin in all your video is how all the nurses wants to... be like.
Yeah.
But they can't because you know what? But they feel so empowered with your videos because they're like, fuck man, you said every single fucking thing I want to say.
Yeah.
But I can't, man. But I wish I could have said this. But yes, man. Thank you.
What's different, right? It was because when I was working at the hospital, I didn't care about losing my job. Right? It's very hard when you're working in healthcare and you want to make social media videos. You're afraid of getting punished. Right? Mm. Because managers aren't going to want you to do that. They want you to stay in line, right? Nope. They don't want you to represent them in a terrible way, right?
No.
So I was lucky because I didn't really give a shit about my job, right? I was like ready to leave. I moved to LA not to work in healthcare. I moved to LA to try to get out of healthcare. So as soon as I saw an avenue with TikTok, I'm like, I'm done. I'm out.
Finito.
I'm finished.
So going back to you, you started TikTok though while you were working as an ER tech, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How was that working as an ER tech and people knowing that you are a social media influencer?
Oh, it never happened.
It never happened.
Mm-mm. Because again, I was working during COVID when I was making these videos. And when I was showing up to COVID to work, like there was not that many. First of all, there's not that many people there, right? Second of all, I got a hairnet on, I got goggles, I got a mask on the whole time.
So nobody can recognize
you. Nobody knew who the fuck I was.
It was harder for me because, you know, I was still working when I was kind of getting the popularity and people are getting to know me.
I can't imagine.
it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And then, you know, some coworkers are going to like what you're doing, and some are like, no. It was funny for me too, because my manager actually sat me down.
Yeah.
She sat me fucking down.
Oh, what'd they say?
But she was so sweet though. She was just like, hey, John, so I've heard that you've been making videos on the internet. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, I just want to make sure that the manager that you're describing in your video is not me.
Oh, interesting. That was the conversation.
I was like, oh, this is not you. It's an exaggeration of like some things, but you know, it's an exaggeration, but it's a truth for a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just the skits I'm making. Yes, I relate it to some of my experience, but it's not completely the things that I experience working in a hospital.
Yeah.
But I want to reassure you that, you know, I'm not shitting on you and stuff like that.
They didn't ask you to stop?
No. They're just like, just make sure that you don't include our hospital logo and name, and don't mention anything that has to do like, you know, privacy wise, but you can keep doing what you're doing because it's actually funny.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess. Thank you.
That's awesome.
I know. And so I feel a bit better, but then, you know, some coworkers have an eye on me and kind of like, you know, like since you can make this kind of videos, we want to see how you actually are as a nurse type of thing.
And oh.
And I'm just like, okay, well, you don't have to watch me because I know what my abilities are and what I'm capable of type of thing.
Did you feel like they thought you were not a great nurse because you were spending time making videos instead?
Yeah. 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 But then, you know, for me, it's that you cannot really control what other people are thinking. Yeah. All I could do is do my job and do my job properly. And again, how I thought of it is that I come to work for my patients, not to please my colleagues or anyone else that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. If you're not happy with, you know, what I'm doing, because a lot of it, it's coming from jealousy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, like the people that don't like you are the people just are not happy that you're doing well in life.
Mm.
And they're just so jealous that, you know, how the fuck is this man doing well in life and I'm not?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I see things.
Yeah.
And then so I just keep working because, you know, there are still people that recognize it as a good thing. Like I have coworkers who loves it and watch it and, you know, and the patients, that's I think where it's harder, because some patients would recognize me and they're like, oh my God, can you be my nurse? You're so fun to be a nurse.
That must be so weird.
I think I had this situation in the ER, and I've been telling the story forever now, is there was a girl, I think she came into the RISIS at like 2 a.m. She got roofied and she was having a mental breakdown and she was really crying a lot, like a panic attack type of thing. And I was like passing by with a big shit from another patient's room. And she stopped crying because she's like, she's like, pussy tight, pussy.
What? She said that?
She said pussy tight, pussy clean, pussy fresh. I was like, shit.
A random girl who was roofied?
Yeah.
In the ER?
In the ER. She was in recess waiting to be seen by a doctor. I don't know how she recognized me.
I see. I understand what you're saying. She saw your videos before and then she said it out loud.
Yes.
I thought she said that randomly and that's where you found it and you put it in your video. Okay, oh, I was confused.
Fuck. No.
I was like, why would she say that?
She has been watching my video for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And she stopped the panic attack. Like she stopped crying and the panic attack stopped.
Oh,
and
they're
like, hold the Ativan.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
John is the Ativan.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh.
That's crazy.
You know, I was like, that's good.
Wow.
She didn't got to be medicated and she stopped crying and she feel better.
Yeah.
But I was like, but it's hard too sometimes because, you know, people look at you. I was like, are you looking at me because you know me or are you looking at me because you need help for something else?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good. I got used to a lot of like social media things. And now I'm more comfortable being out there in public. Have you been comfortable being out there in public and like, you know, interacting with people, seeing all this many people that follows you and admires you for who you are?
Yeah, no, I love it. Come hug me. Come say hi.
Come hug it. Are you single? Steven?
I am single.
There you go, you guys. See?
Yeah. For everybody who can't have Nurse John, I'm available.
Steven is available, you guys. Just reach out to him. Slide on his DM. I'm telling you guys. And what is your criteria? What are you looking for a partner?
What am I looking for?
For a partner.
I'm looking for a nice nurse, you know, to give me sponge baths every day when I come home from work.
I love that. Okay, so you want a nurse, specifically a nurse. Would you actually date a nurse?
Oh, yeah, I would date a nurse. I think nurses, what's great about nurses is they're very worldly because they do see patients. And, you know, right. You change up your perspective a lot with, you know, depending on who you take care of.
I think, but also
like when you work as a nurse, you know, most departments you work with coworkers who are of different ages. So you have to get along with everybody.
Right.
Right. And I remember when I was working in the ER, like I was giving a nurse who was, you know, my mom's age advice on her kid going to Coachella. Right. so nurses, they get a lot of information from a lot of different people in a lot of different places. And I think the accumulation of all that makes you a great parent.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I married a nurse and it's so much better because you don't got to explain nothing about your day.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
That's it. Like you guys just understand each other and you're just like, you know what? You can have your peace and I can have my peace and we will meet when we're ready.
Yeah. And when you're ready to talk about it, you know, you can talk about it without having to explain so much about like, you know, the details of what, you know, someone who doesn't work in healthcare needs.
That's it. Like, but how's your dating life? Because you're not just a regular, you know, person now. Like, How is it for you? How's it different now?
How's it different now?
Because you're a personality, Steven. Like, everyone wants to date Steven Ho. That's all I can say.
I want to say everybody or else I'd be married by now. But how is it different? You know, it's different in ways that you'd probably imagine. Like, right off the bat, like they like you already, you know?
Right.
Like, there's no... Yeah, you don't have to, like, try too hard to convince them, right? So then it gets to the point where like, okay, well, are you going to like me for who I am? For like the little things I do off social media? Or are you okay with, you know?
Because it's going to be hard because also you're doing a tour. You have your own tour.
I'm also doing a tour. I'm on tour right now. So I'm gone a lot. So, you know, if I am dating anybody, we have either the Tuesday or Wednesday before I leave to hang out because I come home Sunday. I'm like, dead tired. I'm not seeing anybody. I take Monday to recharge and get my week ready. And then by Tuesday, I feel like a normal person again.
Because
I'm traveling Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's crazy. Yeah. And like, how did it come up to you that you have all these shows? Like, man, first of all, congratulations for all of this, like sold out shows that you have.
Oh, thank you.
It's crazy though. Like I see you travel every single freaking week to be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this what you want? Is this where you were dreaming yourself to be at this kind of point in life?
I don't know if it was always the dream. It became the dream, you know?
Right.
Goals change all the time,
for sure,
right?
Especially if you
discover something new or something else happens, like huge thing like social media happens and all of a sudden your goals are all different.
That's it.
So it is the goal now to become, you know, a better stand-up comedian and to be traveling and to be seeing people.
Oh, you're a good fucking stand-up comedian. People fucking love you.
Yeah.
They eat it up. I mean, like, if you guys haven't been on his shows, you have to because this man is just hilarious.
Yeah, and you never know. Nurse John might show up.
Hey, listen. You know, you're touring this whole year.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of the year.
We're working on next year already because there's a lot of cities in this country.
That's crazy, man.
You know?
And, like, we were brought into this opportunity to work together, which is so funny to me because I was like, man, like, why would they ever think that, you know, like, I could be next to Steven Hill? I was like, man, this man is like...
What do you mean?
I was like, he's too fucking good and he's too popular to be next to John. Oh, I was like, man.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, stop it. I was like, man, I don't even know if I can be next to him.
We're working on it. You just started. We're doing great. Of course you can.
No. Because you've been doing this for a good while and... I've seen your show and man, it's fantastic. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know, we just try to have fun.
Yeah. That's what we do though.
But you know, like this is a good thing. This is cool that this is happening, right? Because we're signed with the same agent.
Exactly.
Same agency.
Which is super cool because they thought of both of us doing this together, which I'm super happy because then, you know, we can combine both of our audience or community and kind of put it together, and they like it. Mm-hmm. And we have four shows.
Yeah, we have four shows. There's probably going to be a few more, right?
Baby, like, I'm so down. I mean, like, you're amazing. You know that. So my other question, though, is I want to go back to, like, social media. Mm-hmm. When did you start earning money from social media?
Oh, right away.
Was it something that you were expecting or, like, aiming for? Or it just came and you're like, oh, okay, well, extra income.
Oh, yeah, no. I was not expecting it, you know, because... First of all, getting views, millions of views and comments.
That's
and like
it.
The random, you know, messages from people is like more than enough for anybody.
That's it.
But then, of course, the money started coming and it was nice, right? All of a sudden, you're making like, why am I going to work 12 hours at a time when I can be on social media making money sitting at home and doing this stuff, you know?
So earning in social media. So do you think like you would still go back as an ER tech?
Are you out of your fucking mind? do you know how many people are trying to leave the healthcare industry right now?
That's it. And I think like I want to answer this for people, I guess, is that they're like, oh my God, you know, like you got so popular, you're probably not going to work as a, you know, healthcare worker anymore. Nah, 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 nah. But I think like if you think about it, you guys, is that we're all trying to leave the healthcare sector for a reason. Because of the pay. And again, California nurses can't relate, but
we can relate.
We are all trying to find avenue. And I've been seeing so many like nurses having their own small business or having their cafe, merch, or do something else in life because it's really hard right now to work in healthcare and people don't understand that.
Bro.
People don't understand how hard it is. And as much as we love this job, you also have to love yourself and protect yourself and your sanity because you cannot burn out on something that you have a passion about. And it's hard. And I'm not saying like, you know, I'm, for example, me, like I find a new avenue for me and it's teaching. I love working in the hospital, but I don't think I can go back to bedside right now. Just because for me, it's just way too much. There's no changes. It's going to be the same thing. So for me, I have to find an avenue where I can still enjoy the things that I want to enjoy, which is nursing, but in a way that I don't burn out again, like how it is. So it's hard.
Dude, listen, I was just talking to a friend yesterday who's been a nurse for about 5 years now. And
right.
She is about to quit her nursing job to be a manager at a photo booth machine. Like, that's how badly she wants out.
See, like, and, like, you cannot blame these people for leaving the profession and doing something else.
I'll tell you why people are leaving right now. Because what's happened since COVID is, you know, it's not the same working in healthcare anymore. Because, one, these veteran nurses who have been there for 10, 20-plus years, who are supposed to be training the new nurses coming in, are all gone. Okay.
So good.
There's nobody there who's senior enough to be like, listen, it's going to be okay. This is how it works. Like, I got you. I'll guide you. These days, your most senior nurses are nurses who have been nurses for like 3-4 years, right? All of a sudden they're in charge.
So true.
All of a sudden they're in charge. All of a sudden they're the ones who have to figure it out with 4 years of experience, which we all know is not enough.
Not enough.
So what happens? That stress and that terrible work ethic trickles down to everybody else, and now the whole department's on fire, right?
That's it.
That's one of the reasons people can't stand being there anymore, because you don't have these veteran healthcare workers who have been there long enough to teach you to know what's going on. And they left because they're burnt out, because they can't handle everything after COVID.
And it's funny too, because some units, some hospital are just so undeniable about the fact that people are leaving. I was like, why are you guys closing some parts of your unit or always short staff or are always looking for someone to work on your floor if people are not leaving? People are fucking leaving. Mm-hmm. Recognize that and ask yourself what the fuck is wrong in my unit and what changes should we fucking make so that people don't leave.
Yeah, no, retention is everything. Because the other thing that happens too is like, you know, you don't get people who have been in the unit long enough. All of a sudden you're hiring travelers, which no hate to travelers, like we need you. But, you know, you come in, it takes time for you to adapt. You don't know the culture yet, right? And it takes a minute.
That's it. And it's just so funny how travelers, And again, there's no shitting on travelers, because travelers, you guys are filling up the fucking empty spaces and empty units. Who needs that? But like, staff nurses getting paid lower than travel nurses, for me, doesn't make sense. Hmm. How the fuck can a hospital not put that money on the staff people so they can keep them and they can stay there and they can be senior nurses there and they can actually like their fucking job instead of like paying more for travelers?
Yeah.
And I, again, it's not shitting on travelers, because I would travel fucking nurse too. If I can, I will travel nurse. But it's just that for staff nurses, I feel bad that they're earning like $50 and then the travelers are earning 120. Yeah. Like for me, it's like, what the fuck? Why don't you pay 120 to your staff and they can stay there for longer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because like when you hire these days, I don't know how it used to work, but these days it feels like when you're hiring a travel nurse, it's an emergency, right? We need help. We need to hire somebody fast. It's going to cost more money to bring somebody in right away, right?
That's it.
So what you know, that's kind of what ends up happening. Like I think the hospital is like, okay, we have enough people. We're good. It's never enough people, right? But they think we have enough people. All of a sudden, you know, people get sick. Someone calls out. Something happens. You don't have enough. All of a sudden, you're like, okay, well, we're fucked. We need to spend more money to fix this right now. It's an emergency. Let's put a temporary Band-Aid on it. It's going to cost us 2 times more, but it's going to work now, right? And they're going to do it. And then what ends up happening is like, yeah, like everything happens, right? That travel nurse comes in. Now you're having to train a new person. You don't know what their attitude is. They're not as invested in the unit and the people there because they're traveling there for a few weeks, months, and then leaving, right? The people who are happiest who work in healthcare are the ones who have had relationships with their coworkers and their doctors who have been there for years. Those are always the best units to work for.
Right. And again, it's just, I don't know how we're going to solve this issue, and it's just inevitable now. But, you know, the amount of future nursing students and healthcare workers and ER techs are just, you know, they're coming into this profession thinking that things are going to be great.
But the other thing too is like, they're coming into units with such high acuities, right? They're all starting into like these crazy units because they think that's what they believe, like, I want to be an ER nurse now, right? I don't need to go train in like, you know, a lower acuity unit. I just want to be ER nurse. They get thrown into the deep end. And a year in, they're burnt out. Like, fuck, bedside, I'm never doing this again. Right? When you should have started at the bottom and worked your way up.
And I think some people would say like, well, you know, you don't really have to start in med-surg and become like an ER nurse after type of thing, which is totally true also. But I understand what your point is that in the environment right now where nursing is, I think it's hard to start on critical care nursing, because the situations are not permitting you to actually learn in the phase that you should be learning. Because when you start in critical care, again, you have to consider the fact that you guys are going to be short staff. People are going to be super fucking sick. It's going to be over capacity kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, your training that was supposed to be 4 weeks are probably going to be cut to like 2 weeks, and then you're like, well, what the fuck? I guess I just gotta learn it, you know, every single day I work. But you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to suck it up and just be okay with everything. Like, you're supposed to be getting your proper training so that you can actually do your proper job properly.
Yeah. And you know, and I agree with you, right? It's not impossible, right? If you want to start off in the ER, I've had new grads come to the ER, they do great. But like John said, like, this is not the right time. This is probably not the best time for that, when everybody's so stressed out, when everyone's short-staffed, when you don't have the right resources to help you along the way. The best nurses I've ever worked with had experience before they jumped into these critical care nursing units. The best nurses I've ever worked with were either EMTs before, worked as CNAs, or worked in med-surg, or worked somewhere else a few years before they got to the ER. Then they were the best. Right? You need the experience.
Right. Because I can attest to that, because for me, again, I started in med-surg, you know, specifically transplant med-surg. But I can attest to the fact that when I move into the ER after that 3.5 years, I don't feel a sense of like shock or a sense of like stress because I was in a unit that really sharpened my abilities and my skills as a nurse. But again, you do what you want to do in your life and you do what you want to...
No, but you gain so much confidence, right?
Oh, for sure,
for sure. It's just, you absolutely need it. But these days, it's harder for them to get that experience because everyone's so short-staffed and because these critical units need people now. They're like, fuck it, just give us anybody. Give us the new grad. We don't care.
Yeah, as long as you're breathing and your body to fill in the gap.
Yeah, they're like, they'll figure it out. Just throw them in there. And then now this is the standard, right? That's the problem.
That's it.
Now it's the standard in healthcare where like, this is just the way things are. And you're like, no. This was never the way things were. This was not how things were.
It's just now
and we shouldn't be getting used to it.
That's it. It became a norm for a lot of things for us. It's okay to not take your break. It's okay you have 20 patients. It's okay you do this. It's okay for overtime. But they're not okay.
No.
But we made it.
It's not okay.
We made it normalized and okay and made it seem like, oh, well, if you cannot handle 10 patients, how can you work in the... No.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be handling 4 fucking patients max.
Yeah.
Or if I'm ICU, 2.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not a question of, like, am I going to be able to thrive here? It's a question of, can I properly give the proper high-quality care that these people fucking deserve?
Yeah, because if you don't and you start to burn out, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, and that's you're never coming back, you know?
Also, don't feel bad about burning out from nursing and be like, oh, my God, I've only been a nurse or a CNA or whatever in healthcare, and it's only been like 2 years or 3 years, you're entitled to feel burnout. That's because the situation right now in healthcare is just not it.
Yeah, it's bad.
And it's, you know, if you're not burnout yet, I think you should really rethink and reevaluate your choices because the healthcare system is just not good.
It's not good. And for everybody who's been in healthcare for a long time and who's still there and who's still, you know, keeping morale up, like, you are the reason. When I was doing my podcast, the Badass Motherfucker Podcast, everybody who nominated these people to be on the podcast nominated them because they were somebody, like, this is a common theme, right? These healthcare workers, like, I go to work because of this person. I don't give a like, it could be anywhere. Like, the job is the job, but you stay and you work hard for someone at work that you believe in, who's going to help you, who you feel safe with, you know?
That's it.
Work, if there's a certain charge nurse at work, if they know they're working, they'll come to work.
Right.
They'll work overtime. They're fine because they know they're going to get the support and the help that they need when shit hits the fan, right?
True.
Those are the people that you need to keep at the hospital to retain the workers around you.
That's it. But I think, you know, the hospitals are not finding values in staff nurses.
Yeah.
And they're finding more values on, like, hiring, like, agencies and travelers, which is not bad because they fill out the spaces. But again, your staff nurses are the people who are sticking to these fucking hospitals just so it can be kept together.
Yeah, you got to nurture your good ones. But sometimes it's hard for management. I'm not sure how it works, okay? I'm not saying I know how it works, but I'm sure it sucks for management and the people higher up when the people on the floor come to them and be like, this is what we need. And they're like, stop yapping. We're going to get rid of you. We have a million other nurses who want to work here, right? We can just hire another one. I don't know how it works. I don't know why we're not retaining the good ones. But if you are a hospital who's in charge of hiring people, make sure you keep your good ones and nurture them and make sure they're good. They're the reason that the other nurses are going to stay. Trust me. They don't give a fuck about the money. Whatever the job is, the job. You could do nursing anywhere. They don't give a fuck about the money. Trust me. They give a fuck about who they work with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
Right?
And again, if you ever aspire to be a social media content creator, just do it. Would you tell people to do it?
Would I tell people to do it? I tell people if you want to start, you can, because it doesn't take, like, the barrier to entry is so easy. If you want to start, just start.
What do you think should people do if they ever aspire to, you know, start making content in social media? Like, what do you think is the goal? Like, something that they can take away from, like, you, because you're successful on it.
Yeah.
Like, what are the things that you did to get you to the success where you are right now?
You know what's funny about social media these days? There's so much content that's being copied.
For sure.
And I do it too, right? Like, I take an idea and I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I'll take it. And right now, you never know where the original idea is coming from. So a lot of people on social media who are blown up are just content creating and copying other people's content. And it's working. You could blow up.
Correct.
But if you want to stand out, you know, this really like overcrowded now world of social media, like John said earlier, you have to be authentic, right? Talk about what you know and just try to be yourself on camera, because that's what people love now. You see it on TikTok these days, right?
Oh, for sure.
The videos that go viral on TikTok are the ones where people, they're in their living room talking directly to camera, talking about a story that happened to them this morning. Oh my God, I went on this date. Oh my God, I got coffee. Oh my God, why is it so weird in this city?
That's it.
Those videos go viral because people just want authenticity. And I think that's because we are in a world where like we're so shut off. We're on our phones all the time. We're sitting alone in our house these days. We just kind of want to feel like we're with somebody in the house.
That's it. You know? That's it. And some, you know, a lot of people are going through things and they feel related to people who they feel like are very authentic and just, it's almost like FaceTiming someone.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God. Yeah.
That's like, what it feels like.
Man, like right? this feels good. You know, I feel connected to this person. Let me follow this person and, you know, keep doing it. And I think like, for us too, it's the consistency that brought us to where we are.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We did it every single day.
Yeah, you gotta stay consistent too.
And, you know, not one flop video means that it's not gonna be a good one next time.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like the views will get to you, man. Like, especially right now, you know? With TikTok, TikTok's weird. Like the views kind of just go like this. And so you can't let one of these dictate the rest of the week. You got to just kind of keep posting. One of them will hit.
I think, again, it's finding your niche and finding where you are happy and make sure that when you make content, is you're making it because you're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. You cannot be making contents because you're forced to do it just because that's what people loves or want. Because people will feel it from the video. Mm-hmm. People will see like, oh, fuck, man. He's totally faking the laughs. Or he's totally faking this scenario. Like, this is not true. Like, people in the internet now can feel you through their phone. Like, they can feel how authentic, how real, how, you know, how convincing your videos are. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Making sure that, you know, you're doing it because you're having fun, less of you're doing it because you're trying to get somewhere, you know, like a popularity or something. Because the popularity follows right after you've built this kind of like community personality and trust from people watching you.
Yeah. And again, if you're not comfortable talking directly to the camera, like, you know, I do a lot of skits. There's a million ways. Just do what you want to do.
That's it.
Yeah, you have to enjoy it or, you know, you're not going to want to do it.
Sometimes I hate like showing myself, just me. That's why I brought Nurse Pam in the picture, or mm-hmm. like Mr. Smith, or like another nurse, because I was like, I don't want to portray myself today. Yeah. I want to portray Nurse Pam.
Yeah, you want to be creative.
That's it. At the end of the day, again, it's people wants to see the raw you, the real you. The person that, you know, if they see you in person, it's the real, it's the same person that they see on the internet. Mm-hmm. Because then if there's a difference between you on the internet and between you in real life, then you're going to lose the community that you built. Well, to end it up, Steven, to end this amazing freaking podcast episode, like, what do you want to say to the people listening right now? Because, you know, your fans are listening to this right now.
To the people listening, you know, if you're still working in healthcare, we need you. Thank you. Try to find the people that you enjoy working with. Because again, I'm telling you, man, that money fades. That money doesn't matter at the end. It matters like if you can show up to work and feel safe. So make sure you find the people, the right group of people that you want to keep working with.
Correct. Correct, correct.
And if you want to start social media, it's the barrier to entry is so low. Just start recording, try something, throw a bunch of stuff at the wall, and you know, whatever sticks, lean into it.
Amazing. And also, if you guys want to see me and Steven together on stage, we have a few shows, but a lot of them are sold out.
Yeah, we have a few tickets left for the Nashville show in Tennessee on the 21st of
April.
That is the only show with a few tickets left. I think San Diego is about to sell out.
San Diego has like 4 or 5 seats left.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to run and get that San Diego seat, come see us in San Diego. LA is done.
LA is done.
And SF there's is done. More coming for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the podcast, and I hope that you got something from Steven and I's conversation. And again, if you are listening to this podcast, make sure that you download this podcast, follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, share it, tag me on Instagram. And if you want to visit my merch store, you can go in www.nursejohnnn.com. And I will see you guys again next week for another episode of I Beg Your Pardon. And again, keep caffeinated, medicated, and stay hydrated, bestie. See you guys again next week. Goodbye.